Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Marquis Flannery. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the call today. I want to start by wishing you all a very happy Thanksgiving and Native American Heritage Day as you celebrate those holidays later this week. I know how hard everyone's been working, and it will be nice to have some time off to relax with family and friends. All I ask is that you do so safely, and of course, that means minimizing large gatherings, social distancing, wearing masks, and washing those hands. As healthcare experts are pointing out, the next several months will be critical in terms of managing the current COVID-19 surge, since it's still going to take some time before the COVID vaccine is widely available. You probably saw this week that yet another vaccine made by AstraZeneca is now reporting an efficacy rate of 90%. That makes three vaccines so far that have been shown promising results. We are involved in discussions with state officials, and we will be taking all necessary steps to make sure that VNSNY staff can access these vaccines once they're available. But again, we need to stay vigilant in the meantime. Fortunately, the infection rates in New York City and state remain among the lowest in the nation, but they have been increasing. The state reported approximately 5,400 new COVID-19 cases on Sunday. Over 2,500 New Yorkers are now hospitalized with COVID, and our positive test rate is a little under 3% statewide. New Jersey also reported over 4,600 new cases on Saturday, which was a new one-day record for that state, and now has a positive test rate of more than 7%. Meanwhile, Connecticut's positive test rate is about 6%. So both of those states are seeing significant surges. I also hope that anyone who's planning to travel over the holidays saw the business advisory that was sent out last week, which explains exactly what to do for testing and quarantining if you travel to states outside of the tri-state area. This advisory also shared information regarding the availability of rapid COVID tests for all staff on a voluntary basis. And those tests are available Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 7:30 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. at our 220 East 42nd Street location, actually the 41st Street entrance at Partners in Care, and available this week on Friday from 7:30 to 6:30 in Queens. Next week, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, again, same time, same place at the 41st Street office, and Thursday, Friday in Queens. We will continue to expand the schedule geographically, and we will post those hours on the intranet. So please check the intranet before coming for testing. With the rise of COVID cases in our area, we are seeing a slight increase in our number of COVID positive patients. As of last week, 77 COVID-19 patients are now being cared for by our VNSNY home care clinical teams. We're also seeing a rise in the number of VNSNY staff diagnosed with COVID-19, with 26 additional employees reporting positive test results over the past 4 weeks. With the increased availability of COVID tests, it's not surprising that we're seeing greater numbers of positive test results. Moving on to other VNSNY news, you may have seen the email that I sent out earlier today announcing two new positions in our VNSNY leadership team. One of these is the Chief People Officer. This individual will lead all of our human resource efforts and will make sure our employees' perspectives are given full consideration in VNSNY's strategic decision-making. I want to take an opportunity to thank our Executive Vice President, Kerry Parker, for the great work he's done overseeing the HR department these past few years among his many roles at VNSNY. While that responsibility will shift to our new Chief People Officer, who we are now working on recruiting, Kerry will continue on with his many other duties as General Counsel and Chief Risk Officer. The other new position that we're creating is Chief Experience Officer. This position will be filled by Michael Bernstein, our current Chief Administrative Officer. Michael will serve as an internal consumer ambassador, creating a bridge between VNSNY and our patients, members, clients, and family members. For more details, please see my email. But the key point here is these new positions will help us focus on two of our top priorities going forward, consumer experience and employee engagement. Speaking of employee engagement, I want to thank everyone for responding to our Pulse survey. We had our highest staff participation rate in over 2 years, which was wonderful to see. And I'll be sharing those survey responses with you in the very near future. I also want to remind staff on this call that there's just 1 week until December 1st, the deadline for getting your flu shot or submitting a declination form. By now, I hope you all know how to look on the flu tile of the intranet or on the Partners in Care resource page for information about the different ways you can get a free shot. More than half of our VNSNY staff and about a third of our Partners in Care staff have now completed their flu shot requirement. So thank you for that. But we need everyone else to do so in the next few days. I also want to thank everyone who contacted their congressional representatives about the proposed federal telehealth bill. At last count, over 510 staff members have reached out to their U.S. representatives and senators to request their support for the bill, which would get us reimbursed for telehealth visits during a pandemic like the one we're going through right now. This legislation will be good for our patients and plan members, good for our staff, and good for our organization. So thank you again, all of you who participated in this grassroots effort. But there's still plenty of time for other staff to do the same. Just go to the VNSNY Government Affairs SharePoint site and click on the VNSNY Action Center, and it will automatically link you to your representatives. It takes just a minute to do this. So thank you for any help you can provide on this important issue. There are still 5 days left in our open enrollment period for VNSNY staff who want to make changes to their benefit elections. This applies to all management, administrative, and non-union professional employees regularly scheduled to work at least 21.75 hours per week. You have until November 27th, to change your medical, dental, life, or AD&D insurance benefits. Add supplemental or voluntary benefits, or add or drop a dependent. To make changes, go to your Workday inbox. Compliance training must also be completed by the end of this month, so please arrange to do your training right away. Last but not least, I want to remind everyone that you can earn a bonus of up to $5,000 by referring someone you know to VNSNY. If that person gets hired permanently as a registered nurse or licensed practical nurse, you will be eligible for that $5,000 bonus. All VNSNY and Partners in Care staff are eligible for the bonus. For more information on how to qualify, go on Workday, click the careers application, and click refer a candidate. Then follow the prompts to refer the candidate, or for home health aides, go to the homepage of the Partners in Care resources site and click on the employee referral bonus program link. So that concludes my updates for the week. I will now turn to the questions that were sent to the COVID-19 conference call email box. And there are only two questions so far, so if anyone has a question they'd like to send, please do so now, because if we don't have questions, we will end the call early. So the first question, good morning. We had been instructed in the past to don PPE before entering the patient's home. We are now late in the fall, soon to enter the winter months, and donning PPE outdoors will become impossible due to winter temperatures. Aren't we putting ourselves at increased risk of exposure to COVID by donning PPE after having entered the patient's home? I guess I have to put my winter jacket in a separate garbage bag due to contact precautions. So, Tony, can I ask you to answer this question?
Sure. Good morning. This is Tony Dawson, Vice President of Quality and Customer Experience. So a couple of things. So the first thing is that we would want you to be wearing your mask and your face shields when you enter the patient's home. I believe that we were supplying larger plastic bags for you to be able to put your personal belongings in, especially when it's colder outside. And then to put your PPE on, either your gown and or your gloves immediately when you enter the home. But again, if you're wearing your mask and you're wearing your face shields, that's the most important protective that you have to wear at the first place, and then be able to put on your gown and your gloves once you enter the home, immediately inside the patient's home, and I think you'll be fine. Again, we just have to do this at each apartment as much as you can, and I understand and we realize the difficulties that this poses, especially if it's wet weather or it's cold and you're wearing winter clothing. But we are providing you an additional bag to be able to store your personal clothing when you go into the patient's home. Thanks, Marky.
Thank you, Tony. Next question. Good day. Since the coronavirus could be transmitted by asymptomatic patients or household members, should field staff, healthcare workers wear an N95 during the visit at all times? If not, what would be the rationale? Thank you very much. Tony, back to you.
So again, please follow the protocols, and we're asking you to do make sure that you're doing the screening calls before you go to the patient's home to ascertain if they have a possibility of having COVID. And so the minimum requirement is still a face shield and our goggles and a mask, and you should be protected with that, especially for our patients who are non-COVID positive. For patients who are COVID positive, we require you to wear the N95 mask. And again, please follow the protocols that we have outlined, especially as we start to see an uptick in the number of cases again. But again, the most important thing for you to be wearing is your face shield and your mask at all times when you see your patients. Thanks, Marky.
Thank you, Tony. Next question. Good morning. I hope all is well with everyone. How do we schedule to set up compliance training? So I believe that this question has been submitted by a Partners in Care Home Health Aid. Andrea, do you know how our home health aides are getting their compliance training done?
Marky, I'm not able to answer that question right now. I can see if I can get an answer quickly, or we can get back to this person and, more importantly, all the home health aides. So let me see if I can get something before the end of this meeting.
Thank you. Next question. Good morning. It is evident that COVID-19 will be with us for the winter and possibly beyond. Please let us know what the status of previous requests for providing the transportation stipend to Manhattan clinicians while we are using our personal vehicles for work purposes. So Marianne Haas is not able to be on the call today. I believe she did respond to others, but I will ask her to reply to this caller and, more importantly, post this information for staff who are using their personal vehicle and the ability to take advantage of a different type of driving stipend. So we will follow up on that. The next question. Good morning. Will we be able to continue with the Department of Transportation parking pass after December 31st? So I know that this is something that is very much a desired request of our staff, and we are continuing to work with the city to get these parking passes extended. They seem to always wait until the last moment to give us the final answer. So there's no surprise that we still don't have an answer as to whether or not the parking passes will be extended after December 31st. We hope so. But it's entirely up to the city to make that determination, and we will continue to keep you posted on the response to that. Next question. Good morning. Are we required to take a COVID test? If so, where is it offered and when will it be offered? So the only staff that are required to get a COVID test are staff who are working at nursing homes or assisted living facilities as part of their daily work. they are required to get a COVID test. If additionally, any staff who travel need to follow the travel advisory and would be required to get a COVID test so that they do not have to quarantine. If staff choose to not get a COVID test, then their quarantine would be mandated and they'd have to use PTO to do so. We encourage staff to get COVID tests, and they are being done on a volunteer basis, so you would make arrangements to go to get your COVID test, and we are offering the rapid COVID test at our 41st Street entrance, right behind our 220 building, the 41st Street entrance. We have, at the Partners in Care location, we have staff on site Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays from 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. administering the rapid COVID test. Additionally, on Thursdays and Fridays at our Queens location, from 7:30 to 6:30, we are offering the rapid COVID test. But please note, this week, because it's Thanksgiving, we are not offering the test on Thursday. We are looking to expand the locations, and we'll post all of the information about those locations on the intranet so that you can see that. But if you wanted to get a COVID test, at your convenience, during those working hours, you can come in and get a test. Anything to add to that, Tony?
No, that's exactly right, Marky. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next question. Staff COC nurses are constantly being asked to contact physicians for start of care done by weekend nurses. This is very time-consuming. Why can't office nurses make these calls? Andrea, I'm not sure if you're able to answer this question. If not, we would need to get back to the staff. Can you?
Yes, Marky. I think that we can take this suggestion to the leadership team to see if this is something that makes sense and can be implemented. We do understand how frustrating this is for the COC nurses. So, I will send this recommendation to the child leadership team and ask them to get back to this person who sent it.
Thank you.
Next
question, and I'm not sure I understand the question, so if this person can clarify or we'll follow up with them directly. It says, can the patient let Partners in Care know that we should wear booties to cover our shoes and have them ready? So I'm not sure what the question is, because patients are not going to be making directives, nor are they going to be providing supplies. So not sure how to answer this question. Andrea, perhaps you can have Jim follow up with this individual?
Yes, Marky, I will. I'll send it over.
Thank you. Next question. For staff with Samsung tablets, completing the daily COVID health assessment is very quick, but the many logins and phone authentication creating a request in Workday takes 3 to 4 minutes each morning. Is there any way to shorten this? So I can ask our HR team to follow up on this. Marion is not on the call today, so we'll ask her to follow up. I know that I do the daily health assessment each morning. I do it on my cell phone, and it is very quick. It does not, you have to navigate, but once you get used to doing it, it does not take me 3 to 4 minutes. It is just a minute or two from when I log in to when I complete. So not sure what the difference is between what I have to do and what others have to do, but we will follow up on that. Unless, does anyone on the call have any other information about that? Because I'm not familiar with the code Samsung tablet nuances. Okay, next question. While the current protocols in place are helpful and have been effective, despite going through the screening, I have discovered that caregivers are sometimes less than honest in the symptoms or current risk exposure. Given that there is asymptomatic spread, field clinicians and staff should be allowed to wear an N95 for each visit and prevent unnecessary risk to staff. Your feedback would be appreciated. So, Tony, I'm going to send this back to you again.
Thanks, Marky. So I understand your concern again, but we're asking you please to follow the protocols. We've been following those protocols and have been relatively safe for those over the last 9 months. We please ask you to follow those because while we do have PPE and while we do have N95 masks available, we don't have endless supplies of those, and we're trying to stratify those the PPE according to the patient risk. So I'm not telling you not to wear an N95, but I'm asking us to please follow the protocols according to the patient. And if you feel that the patient is high risk or the patient is not being truthful with you or the family isn't being truthful with you, then by all means wear your N95. But again, please follow the protocols. We design those based on the patient's risk and to protect you and protect our staff moving forward. Thanks, Marky.
Thank you. Next question. How are partners, home health aides, who do not have access to digital communication being updated with information sent in that manner? Some don't even know about Ben's support calls. So do any of my colleagues on the line know how to respond to this question?
Marky, it's Michael Bernstein, Chief Experience Officer. And part of the answer, I understand the question, is access to digital communication. But so that everybody knows, if you do have access to the web as a home health aide, you can go to Frontline BNSNY, and then you click on Partners in Care. Anyone can access that from any place on the web. And today, for example, if you were there, it says Tuesday, November 24th at noon is the support call. So the information is there. But, of course, the question says if you don't have access to digital communication. And with respect to that, Marky, we would have to confer with Partners in Care leadership. Perhaps Andrea knows, but there have been in the past other ways in which information is shared with home health aides. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we've mailed information, we've done broadcast messages, and we've also called aides, but we can follow up. So, Andrea, perhaps you can follow up with Jim, and we can answer that individual with additional information. We have another question. When I work the night on call and the manager cannot assign that case to me, she asks me to write a paper note. Are there still paper notes to be inputted with this new system VNSNY currently uses? So I don't truly understand the question. Andrea, do you understand the question that you can reply to this?
I think I understand the question. I'm not sure I know the answer. So this person is being asked to write a paper note instead of inputting it into, I'm assuming, home care home base. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, this is a CHA nurse.
Because the case hasn't been assigned, the nurse can't access it, and that's probably what's going on. So the question is, is the paper note being inputted into the system? And I'm sure there's a process for that. I will send it to the team so they can follow up with this person to ensure that that paper note is being translated into the system itself. So we'll follow up with this person.
Thank you. So that was the last question that we received, and thank you. We did get a significant number of questions that were sent in throughout the time of the call, so I thank you for that. And we will be getting back to those individuals who we were not able to respond to their questions. And again, remember that all of the question and answers are posted on the intranet site for your availability later in the week. There is one more question. I'll take it now while we're still on the line. We have been noticing that nurses on call on weekends are given visits that are non-emergencies and start STC. RNs are activated unnecessarily. Can the evening, night, and weekend supervisors appropriately triage the cases and possibly do virtual calls or visits before assigning staff. Andrea, is this a follow-up or do you know?
I think this is a follow-up, Marky, regarding the nurses who are on call on the weekends. So, I, again, understand the question, and it'll be a direct follow-up with the person that asked the question.
Thank you. All right. So thank you, everyone, for your time and attention. Thank you for everything you do each day. And, STC is subject to call. Just thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate that. So, hope you have safe and healthy holidays and a happy Thanksgiving, and we will pick up again next week. And next week, the call is on Wednesday. So please remember to check the email before you call in because there will not be a call on Tuesday. So thank you and have a good rest of your day.